Welcome to another episode of the Games Talk Live podcast. This week we have our good friend and, of course, co-host here, Hargeet Chani. Welcome back from your abduction. I told everybody you were abducted last week, so tell us how it was, and did you get probed?
Did I get probed? No, I'm not part of your new podcast. that must be a fun little topic over there, but no, unfortunately, I was out on a funeral. One of my cousins passed away, and so we were there, and I was flying back while this show was on. So, but somehow our videos are going. What's going on?
Yeah. You know what? Every week it's a technical issue with this Discord. I hit this button and it's just, yeah. Got to figure this out. Technical difficulties. Hold up. I'll get this right. I'll be right back. All right. Okay, we should be fine now. We should be.
All right. Hopefully it'll be back to normal.
Hopefully. All right, guys. So, what have you been doing, man? I know you've been gone for a while. You went out of town. You got abducted. So, when they brought you back to Earth, what have you been doing since then this week?
It's all just been the book. That's basically it. I just been, I finished the content and then I had to, do the editing of it. I got some feedback from family as well, just to, what do they think? And they gave me some great feedback, especially for the beginning of it. So I changed that up. And it's basically all I've been doing is just been like kind of getting that book done. And so I've like awesome. A handful of pages left in editing. And then hopefully that'll be done. And then I got to figure out how to get it out there.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. I cannot wait for you to put it out there, and I will definitely read it, my friend. it's incredible that, there's so many talented individuals out here in this community, not just, in the gaming scene or whatever, but, so many authors out there, as well. We've got you now, but we have Ramon Terrell. We also have Everborn Saga, who also writes books. So really cool to see. It's really awesome.
Yeah. He was giving me some hints.
So he was helping you out there. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. He's done quite a few. He's already done quite a few. So
he has.
I
myself, my friend, have been playing Fallout. I tried a bit of Fallout 76. I tried it. Okay. I put in a few hours with Colt Eastwood.
Yep.
My experience, he told me, was kind of unique because he's never really seen people do that before. So normally in the community in Fallout 76, people are happy to see new guys come along, and usually they just give you a ton of stuff to help you get going, or at least are friendly and help you out. Well, as Colt is showing me around, there's this guy. First of all, there's these like freaking grenades that were being thrown at us and stuff, and they weren't hurting us because there's no PvP really unless you engage. And so this guy was throwing mini nukes at us and all kinds of stuff, just trying to get involved in our game. And I'm looking off into the distance, and I see a guy, and he's just standing there behind a tree. He's standing outside, like he was just hiding behind the tree, and he's just staring at us. And then as I walk towards him, he'll go and hide behind the tree. And then if I get there, he'll run away. And I'm like, what's up with this guy? So I'm like, okay, let's forget about him. So we go about our business. We start playing. We continue to play. And this guy follows us. He followed us our entire game trying to grief us, but it doesn't work in this game. So what I ended up doing is I invited him to the party, and he accepted. And then he started running around shooting stuff with us and started playing the game with us. And then at the very end of the game, he started waving at us to say bye, because we were in a Discord. We were in a party chat. It's private. Yeah. So we weren't able to talk to him, but he was waving at us. So I waved back, and then he laid out a whole bunch of stuff for me. He's like, here's some stuff. Thanks for playing with me. And Colt was like, maybe he just, wanted to find a friend. Maybe he just, he was bored and, he got us to friend him, and it was a unique experience for sure. But I don't know if I'll be going back to Fallout 76, and not because it's a bad game by any means. It plays well. That Fallout universe is there. For me, I'm not a big fan of co-op, and the tedious grind at the beginning of the game, it's just that, it's tedious. There's a lot of busy work to do, and I just didn't care for it. It's like, go over here and fetch this water, and then go over here and put it in this machine and blah, blah, blah. And just, it was a lot of fetch quests and stuff that I was just like, I don't want to do this. So then I fired up Fallout 4. Wow.
PC or
PC?
Console.
On PC. Okay, there you go. Of course. I played it on the PlayStation 4 many moons ago. And shout out to Lotus Esprit. I just saw it. 5 gifted memberships. Thank you very much. I appreciate that so much. They are so freaking awesome. Lotus, thank you. Such a good friend here to the show. I really appreciate that. So I'm playing Fallout 4, and I played it a long time ago on the PlayStation 4, and I put in 259 hours into that game on the PlayStation 4. I remember exactly, because I kept track of it back then, because I was so addicted to the building and everything within that game. It's not the best story at all within the Fallouts. It's definitely not one of the best, but it is such a good game. And playing it again and doing it on the PC and throwing in mods in there and stuff to make it look even better. Awesome experience. Like, I'm loving that right now. So I see a lot of people are. If Fallout right now, Fallout 4 is up by like 7,500% or something crazy. Like, people are buying this game and playing this game again in droves. And I mean, I didn't understand why. Have you watched the TV show, by the way?
You know, I'm not watching TV. I don't.
Oh my gosh. I'm not a big, Hargy, I'm not a big TV guy either, but I'm telling you, this show is awesome. It is so good. I finally finished it last night with the wife. And we both ended up loving this show. The last episode, we kind of were like, meh, because it kind of leaves you on that cliffhanger sort of thing. But I get it. A lot of shows do this. At the end of the day, great cast of characters. I mean, I've seen some people around the internet saying like the main character is not a good character. Shut up. Okay. She's an awesome character. It's a great, great show. Really, really digging it. So if you guys aren't watching Fallout, I'm sure you are, watch it, because it's really good. Ultraman, thank you for the $5. He says, hey, Fonz, Hargy, what's up, fellas? No rest for the wicked all weekend, he said. Yeah, that is in early access right now.
Yeah.
But I chose not to get it because I didn't want to jump into another ARPG right now. I'm loving Fallout. I'm yearning for that big open world experience, and I'm getting that. But No Rest for the Wicked looks really awesome, so I'm really digging that. And thank you, Colt Classic Cage, Cassie, stepping in with a $3 sticker. I appreciate that so much. But yeah, so that's what I'm enjoying right now. Folks, are you enjoying Fallout? Any of the Fallouts right now? I'm sure many of them are. Fallout, it's just a frenzy right now with this game and this show. It's crazy, Hargy, crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've already finished Fallout 4, so I'm like,
yeah, me too. But it was so long ago 76. That I forgot a lot of the stuff. Like, there's things that are jarring my memory when I'm doing some of these quests. Like at the beginning, when you first meet the Brotherhood and you got those two that are arguing with each other, and then they're like, the one guy's always arguing with you and he doesn't like you. And I remember that stuff. But it's such a classic and such a great game. Like, this is Bethesda. Honestly, I love Bethesda games, though. So I'm a sucker for them, people. So I will play this stuff. I don't know that I'll complete it. I don't know how far I'm going to get into it, but right now I'm good with it. It's something to play and a lot of fun. So, and of course the mods, man, the mods make it a blast. You can do so much with these mods these days, especially with older games like that. Stuff that I've already played, I don't mind modding and doing that sort of thing. It's just another level of experience you get, with these games. You get some of these mods on the console as well, so you guys aren't locked out completely. There are a lot of cool mods on the console, so check those out if you haven't. Let's get into today's topics. Let's talk about Take-Two. Take-Two has eliminated almost 600 developers from their pool of over 11,000. Hargi, they've got over 11,000 developers. They've gotten rid of 588. Now, according to them, this is part of their efforts to rationalize, like it's a pipeline and eliminate several they've eliminated several projects as well. And what they're saying is it's organizational structure, which will eliminate headcount and reduce future hiring needs. At the end of the day, like, I don't know. I find this to be a bit gross because of several things, Hargeet, and I'll get into that, but 588 developers gone out of Take-Two. What say you on the matter? What do you feel about this one?
I mean, look, ultimately, like, everybody's going to look at, oh my God, you know, freaking GTA makes billions of, it doesn't matter because that's one part of the business. There's all these other things that have to still make money. They bought Zynga. Has that made money? I don't know if it has. I think it's been having struggles, to be honest, ever since they bought them. Does that mean they're going to have to do something to clean that up? Probably. I mean, take a look at PlayStation, right? They bought Bungie. Is Bungie doing what they're supposed to do? No. So did that require some cleanup? Yeah. Like, it is what right? This is the way it is.
Let's slow down a bit there. There's something to unpack there. So you mentioned Bungie, but you can't compare Destiny to even GTA 5 online.
But again, you're going down that rabbit hole. That's one game. They're a publisher with many other studios.
I know. When they make
billions. So you have to go down that path.
When they make billions off of one game. It's not just that.
It's the same thing as saying, like, why did Microsoft fire anybody? Don't they have, like, hundreds of billions in the bank?
True.
Sure, they do. But you got to make stuff, right? You have to make stuff and be profitable. It's just the way it is.
How about.
And so if.
Let me pose this to you then. How about I tell you that just this past year, their execs got bonuses of over $72.3 million.
Does that shock me?
The fact remains, though. I mean, you look at the average developer's salary, which is, let me see.
And they're mostly in California, I'm guessing.
108,000.
Okay.
108,000 is the average developer salary. You take fully loaded this
by like 200K.
So you're looking at annual probably 62-63 million, something roughly, that it would cost to keep the 588 people, you know. That's less than the freaking bonuses they handed out last year. That's what I'm saying. Like do these execs need these bonuses? Because people need jobs, and it seems like, you know.
Well, but so Fonz, let me ask you this. Let's say you hire somebody to clean your gutters, and then they clean your gutters, and they're done. And then you say, well, you know what? No, I should keep hiring them. You know, I should just keep paying them even though the gutters are clean. It's like, no, at some point you're done. Like, yeah, that's it. You're done.
If there's a situation where they were sort of just contractors, I'd understand that. But this is a situation where these were full-time employees that had steady jobs at one time. And not only that, you got to remember, just 2 months ago, they mentioned that they weren't planning on getting rid of anybody. Just 2 months ago, they said this at Take-Two. 2 months later, 588 gone. Things change in 2 months, people. Yeah, I don't know. This is the way it is, though.
Like, I mean,
I don't like it.
I am not surprised by this in the least, right? So, like, this is just, so if suddenly you look at a game and it's not working, you're like, okay, well, we're just going to give up on that game. See ya. Well, that means people are going to lose their job. That's just the way it is. I mean, unfortunately, that's life. Like, that's just the way it is. Yeah. I just don't.
I guess I don't see it's just so black and white because of the circumstantial issue, that everything that's happened since, you know, them getting their bonuses just this last year to 2 months ago saying, hey, we're not planning on getting rid of anybody, till 2 months later getting rid of 588.
I mean, I'm not shocked that all of them expect Ubisoft, Take-Two, they're all going to do it.
They're in a market right now. I feel is struggling. I think the gaming space is not in the greatest of places right now. So for people to say, oh, these people will find other jobs, is crazy talk. Because
yeah, I'm not saying it's not bad that people lose jobs. It sucks, but I mean, but this is the way it is. And the tech industry, by the way, is all it's all like that.
I know, right? Dude. All the tech industry right now is so, freaking just, you know, a nightmare.
Inflation's killing, you know, the ability to buy things. It just is what it is, right? That's just the way it is.
But I just feel like a company that's about to be making billions of dollars with the new GTA 6 next year, they could have held on to these people. They could have. They could have.
If there's no value to what they're doing, what do you get from it?
Who's
that's
to say
always
no
the
value?
Problem, right? So you have to find something from them
as
to do.
Well, like, what did they cancel? I don't know what they cancel. I'm sure it'll come up later.
That's the problem.
I don't know. I just feel bad for them is all. Maybe that's my problem.
I agree. I feel bad that like people lose jobs, but that happens all the time. There's so many people losing jobs. It's all over the place.
I'm tired of hearing about it. I really am. I'm tired of hearing about it. It sucks. It really does suck. Somebody said maybe
we'll have
they were just COVID
economic,
hires.
You know, upswing and things will be better. Hopefully at some point.
The thing is I guess this is just a sign, people, showing you that even the biggest, baddest publishers out there that are making a killing on certain games are still affected by these layoffs, you know.
There's like Xbox, I mean, to be fair, right? Xbox laid off, what was it, 1,900 something? Whatever, the 1,600? Whatever the number was. It was a lot, right?
Yeah.
So Sony laid off quite a few as well. Like, it is what it is. Like, this is just the way it is.
Yeah. It sucks, though. It does suck.
It does. It does. It does suck, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Strauss Zelnick, I had written it down here. He said that there would be no more layoffs, citing it would be the hardest thing to do, laying off colleagues. And they had no plans of doing so. This was 2 months ago. It's just a bad look to me. Yeah. That's all.
It's always a bad look, but again, I'm not surprised. Have we heard about Ubisoft yet? Have they done a layoff yet?
I believe they did have layoffs recently.
Yeah,
so
if they did, then okay.
I'm sure they did.
Right, because if they
were one of the first.
Due.
Let me see. Ubisoft, late last year, it was in November. They laid off 124 employees. Gotcha. That's not a lot.
Yeah.
Not compared to the other. That's still a lot, but it's not a lot in comparison to the other development studios and stuff. But, yeah. Some people agree with you. Some people agree with me. It's just, you know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, where you're 100% correct, and I agree with you, is that this kind of stuff happens, but it sucks. It sucks.
Yep.
That's all. let's move on. Let's talk about Rise of Ronin. Sales are down. What a shocker. Koei Tecmo is getting the game layoffs. Is off to a slow start when it comes to the sales. Also stating it missed its goal by 70 million.
Wow.
how did it miss its goal by 70 million? What were they expecting? I guess 70 million.
I guess more sales. They must have. How much do you think they got then? I mean, like,
I don't know.
70 million probably means like a mil and a half in sales, something like that. A million and a half.
So they didn't sell even a million and a half? Like, that's.
Well, that's just for that 70 million that they were expecting on top of whatever they got.
Jeez.
Right? I assume that's what that means. That means, right?
Yeah. It sounds like it, but here's the thing, though. I think, thank you, Highlander 001, member for 12 months. He says, this is why we need developers to unionize.
That may help, it may not help, right? I mean, unfortunately, ebbs and flows are just what they are.
I've got a love-hate relationship with unions. Like, I've worked for a union for 20-plus years, so I definitely have my issues with union. Also, I like certain aspects about it, but union isn't always the best way to go. I'll just say that. It's not always the best way to go. I mean, you understand. We've talked about this before, Hargeet, behind the scenes with unions and stuff. But going back to Rise of Ronin, though, it's a game that I think this is one of the issues that I'm seeing is that $70 for this game in particular, and I think $70 has been a tall task to really push upon everybody, because all game sales are down a little bit, and I think the $70 price tag has something to do with that, and especially when a game isn't really like pushing fidelity or, I mean, let's face it, it's taken a couple of steps back by some reviewers out there. You know, they've stated that Team Ninja have taken steps back with this game as well. And it just doesn't look like one of those games that really screams $70. I don't know. I think that that might be a big issue, though, with games right now. Is that price tag?
It is. It is. I mean, there was an industry analysis done that saw that, right? The volumes went down. Revenue went slightly up, but volumes went down because of $70 games.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, that's got to be clearly the thing, right? There's also the fact that, like, we sort of came out of COVID as that was really kind of happening, right? So the $70 games really kind of took off because we were cross-gen for quite a while. So I don't know if that impacted it as well, right? It could just be those two things hit at the same time, but there does seem to be a pattern of that, right? And I don't know if they're gonna do anything about it. Like, Sony's answer was, let's make it cheaper by splitting the game into multiple parts.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, that's one way to go.
In return, it becomes not a $70 game, but a $100 game when you get both parts, right? When you get both of the $50 parts. That's not going to work either. And they're not going to go backwards. They're not going to give you a less of a price there. They're not going to pull back on that price. It's already out there.
For Rise of the Ronin, we saw this coming, right? They decided to release it when Dragon's Dogma 2 was coming out.
That's like another issue.
Like, you kind of have to know that's a bad idea, right?
Terrible
and
idea.
So why did Sony decide to do that? Like, I don't quite understand why they would do that, right? So, but they did. And that's got to have hurt the sales. Hopefully it can maybe pick it up. Maybe it'll do okay in the next 5-6 months or something. Maybe there'll be some fall sales and they'll get some sales out of it. But it's kind of disappointing for them. But you know, I guess, look, they decided to do this exclusivity thing, and like, maybe it would have been better if it had more platforms. It would have gained something at least, right?
Yeah.
So perhaps, you know, in a year it shows up on Game Pass, they get a little bag and, you know, put it on Game Pass.
Pragmatic Eagle.
I don't know.
Like, what's it? Pragmatic Eagle in the chat says, sounds like a them problem for raising game prices and putting out mediocrity. Straight up, you know, you put out a mediocre product and that's what's going to happen, especially it's $70. I hear that loud and clear, man. I was looking at that game because I really liked Wolong, Team Ninja's other game they put out last year, and that's not like a strong looker either. It's not really up there on the fidelity charts, but it's a decent game, and it's a lot of fun. So I was thinking to myself, but we did get in Game Pass. I have to shout out Game Pass for that, and that was one of the biggest draws to that game for a lot of people, was that, hey, it's in Game Pass, I can try it, I can play it there. But I played it the whole way through there, and I loved it. It was one of my games of the year for last year. I freaking thought it was amazing. Now, fast forward, I'm looking at Rise of Ronin, and I go, man, I can't wait for that game too, Team Ninja and everything. Then I started to see some things about it, and I'm like, hold up, that horse animation alone, what's going on there? It's just, it looked like it needed to take a dump or something as it's running. It just does not look like even as good as Wolong, in my opinion.
So do you think maybe they pushed it, like Sony said, hey, we need to have this out now?
I don't know. That's because it, I mean, it's all there mechanically, and people are just saying that it's just not as good as their previous titles. I don't know. I mean
did they change engines, like, or something?
No, they didn't. That's the funny
thing.
Right?
So you're like, so why? Like, why would they suddenly, like, they've had a quality bar, why would they go below it? I don't quite understand, right? Unless it's Koei saying, we need this out now. And maybe that was the case. I don't know. I don't understand why they needed to do it now. Maybe you can see Sony's side of it, that they need like exclusives, right? Because they were kind of a year of like nothing of their own. So they needed to get some third-party exclusive games, but they've had a couple. They've got Final Fantasy, they got Stellar Blade, right? So I don't see that being an issue. I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me.
Stellar Blade, I think that comes out next week, people. Stellar Blade. I'm actually picking it up next week. I dusted off my PlayStation just for that game. Didn't dust it off for Rise of Ronin. Didn't dust it off for plenty of games before that. But Stellar Blade, I played the demo, and I thought it was really good. My comments are on a show a few weeks ago, which I got blasted about because I spoke about the hypersexualization of the character, which indeed is true. It's factual. You can't dispute that. However, I'm still going to play the game because it's a fun game. And I don't have a personal problem with the character. I'm just spitting out the fact that, yes, it is over-sexualized, but that's beside the point. It's coming out next week. I dusted off my PlayStation for that, so I'm definitely playing that game. But, you know, and I think it's going to be a big blockbuster for Sony. I think the pre-sales are pretty massive with that game. So I think that's a good thing. But
we'll see, right? We don't know what that looks like when it actually comes out. Because, like, you can see, like, Rise of the Ronin was up on the top on the pre-orders as well. Look where it is. Good. So you don't know until it actually sells.
Good point.
Until you actually see the sales, right? So I don't know. I'll wait until I see the numbers.
There's dudes out there that I've seen on Twitter that are going to buy this game. So I think it's going to be a big seller.
We don't know. Like, we assume that they will, you know, but we have no idea, right? The games that are currently in the top are, you know, freaking Fallout, right? Fallout's like kicking butt everywhere. And like, who knows? Like, Call of Duty always seems to win and Fortnite always seems to win. So,
yeah, Abdel says a good demo helps. Ronin had no demo. Well, I don't think a demo would have helped that game. Honestly, I don't think it would have.
Yeah. Like you said, though, the biggest demo is put it in Game Pass.
Oh, boy.
People can try it.
Here we go.
If you like it, you like it.
Says, if you don't like the look of the main character, which nobody said that. I like the look of the main character. I don't have a problem with the look of the main character. Just don't play it. Pretty simple. These weirdos asking for a game they won't even play. To be changed is weird. They won't even play. To be changed is weird. Y'all wouldn't go to an adult shop and cry. What? What are you even talking about? Yeah. No, the demo itself was really fun. I just don't think they needed to push any kind of, you know, certain aspects of the game. I'll say the aspects of the game, okay? Because the game is fun on its own merits. It's the mechanics are good. It's solid. It's got a great foundation. But, yeah, it is what it is. It's coming out next week, guys, so I'm sure you in the chat, Warawana, will be there to play it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think there's a problem with games being $70 right now. And there's a lot of games coming out that's just not worth the $70. Let's be real. I mean, that's honestly the truth. Ronin is not worth $70. It's just not. There's a lot of games out there that's not worth the money they're trying to charge. But somebody said, excuse me. Yes, exactly. Exactly, Jordan. Yeah, okay, you're not saying me specifically. I got you. Or yeah, there are people that are crying about it in those terms. Yes, there are people that are just overly like, oh my god, I can't take it, pull my eyes out of my socket, I can't look at her, she's too beautiful, you know. Yeah, there's weirdos out there like that. Yeah, there's, yeah, yeah, no, there's people out there that complain that in that regard, and it's just stupid. It's just dumb. What about this bit of news? Sea of Thieves. Okay. And this is a bit weird, Argy. Digital Foundry has come out with a comparison video between the PS5 and the Series X. And apparently, the game is running and looking just a bit better on the PlayStation 5. Apparently, the shadows are better and the game is performing just a bit better. What is going on, Hargeet? Is it the
is
Series
it performing
S?
Better? I thought it was just like the shadows are different. Right?
Apparently, there's these little stutters in the Xbox version that
they're the
still
same on the PlayStation
in the PS5,
version.
But it's not as often.
It's also crashing.
If it's some sort of net code or something, but at the end
that's
of the
what
day,
they were saying.
At the end of the day, you should not have a better looking game. It's a bad look, Hargeet. You should not have
is,
a first party
like,
game looking better
whatever.
On your competition. That's weird to me. It's not a whatever thing. This is pretty bad, in my opinion. What? I mean, how could you upgrade the game just recently for the Series X and S
And then I don't think it's an upgrade. I think it's just the way the shadows are done.
It was upgraded, though. Last year, I'm saying it was upgraded for the Series X and S. And then they put it out for the PlayStation this year, and they make it just a bit better. And I'm wondering, how could
they do this? It's just the way the shadows are implemented on PlayStation. They're just different than the way they're implemented on Xbox. Because you saw this in other games, too, right? It just depends. Sometimes you'll see this in just random games, like those shadows are better quality on the PlayStation. I think it's just the implementation of the way they do shadows, right? So engine dependent, it may just work out better if the shadows, you know, are implemented.
Are you saying the Series X is an inferior product?
No, it's the way the engine is deciding to leverage the capabilities of the dev kit. So they just do things differently, right? Is this unreal?
So what you're saying is Series S is holding back the Series X?
No. No, it just, like, if I looked at something like id Tech, it would be as stunning as you can get, right? But that's because id Tech does things to be really crazy on each piece of hardware, right? But that's not the case with every engine. And I'm sure I remember, is Sea of Thieves Unreal? I think it is, but I just can't remember what they used. But
I believe it is Unreal 4.
Yeah. So it's really just a question of how Unreal handles shadows, right, on the different dev kits. And because this isn't like the first time we've seen this, like shadows across several games.
No, but here's what the funny part is. Like, you know,
between the two platforms.
This kind of gets rid of that old excuse that, hey, it was developed first for the PS5 and then ported over to the Xbox. Because this is the total opposite, and it's better on PlayStation.
Yeah.
That piece
is better on PlayStation,
so,
right?
So
there's also draw distance, which is part of the dev kit of Xbox as well, right? To take away from
And you can see more in the distance too on the PlayStation 5 version. So
right.
So what you're telling me is Xbox is dying.
Xbox is dying.
That's what you're saying.
Confirmed. No, it just really is implementation issues, and I don't know if Xbox cares to fix it. I don't know that they do.
Such a it doesn't matter. Just put blinders on, everybody. We don't need to see that. Our own game looking and performing better over there.
Optically, it sucks.
Gosh, right? Optics, it sucks.
Yeah. But, we're not talking like it's 99% and 80% and 100%. It's like 99.99 versus 100. And it's like, okay, is this really going to change things? No, but. It has this weird little, you know, okay.
It lends heavily to the console war. And
what was more interesting is like the freaking PC version wasn't good. Now that's kind of crazy. Why would the PC version not be good?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no
idea.
So
that's got to be a bug,
right?
So
what you're telling me is the developers at Rare are inept.
Maybe? I mean, I don't know. Or they just leave Unreal the way it is and just, like, the game itself is not, like, driving, like, besides the water graphics, which are fantastic, right? But they're not, like, it's not a very real-looking game. It's a cartoony game, right? So it is interesting that they, like, this is an old-gen game, too. It's an Xbox One game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why the PC version is bad. Like, why would that not
I never
look
looked at that because Zucker's always told me it's good.
Yeah, and it's good in comparison to what they've already had, right? The Xbox version versus the PC version, they look the same, but it's like, well, that's not what you should have, right? Yeah. So why is the PS5 version looking better than the PC version? Hmm. I don't know what's going on there. That's something they should fix. So that to me, that sounds like dev kit, right? Because the way you hit PC and the way you hit Xbox is the same development kit. So it sounds to me like there's something going on with the dev kit. And if it's UE, I think it is UE4, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's UE4. I believe so.
Then it's something to do with that interaction that they'd have to go fix. It's definitely a software stupidity and, you know, shame on Microsoft to not fix it. But do I think they'll fix it? I don't know. Right. It's something they should do. It's not like UE isn't an engine they use across many of their studios. They should just go fix it with them. It's not like they have like this talented team called the Coalition that maybe knows how to use the Unreal Engine. Like, hey, it is what it is.
Yes. Digital Foundry is still ruining gaming. Well, Yes, they do pixel.
It's not Digital Foundry's fault. I'm not going to blame
them. This is their job. They're just giving you what it looks like, and they like to pixel peep and stuff. And I appreciate what they do, and it has nothing to do with those console wars. I don't really care. Like, me talking about this stuff here is entertainment. I'm just talking about the facts, what was laid out in front of us. But me personally, do I care that Sea of Thieves is looking a little bit better on the PlayStation 5? No, I don't care. But I would like to know why.
Yeah, I really would. Stupid, right?
It's a strange thing because it's kind of embarrassing for Xbox. Not for me, but for Xbox.
And PC for that matter. Like,
if what you're saying is true, then for PC as well.
I thought that's what he said in the Digital Foundry thing. He's like, the shadows look bad on PC. I don't understand. That's a dev kit issue. And they need to fix that. Maybe Xbox, Microsoft, they need to fix that. That's stupid.
One thing I will say, though, is that just the fact that Mark Cerny is really a genius when it comes to creating those Sony platforms. Every time he comes out with a new console, it's always a really good console. And, you know, their approach to it is much different than Xbox's. And that's not to say the Series X isn't a beast of a console, because it is. And on paper, it's still better and more powerful than the PS5. But the way Mark Cerny has that machine running, and the way it's clocked, and the way it works.
It's more software. It's all about software. It's how you leverage. Very well, it's like what Dealer would say, right? It's software. It's always software.
Cult Classic Cage says, it's when Digital Foundry gives their dumbass opinions. I don't say they're all dumbasses over there. I like some of those guys. And I think most of them are extremely smart. But if they give a certain personal opinion about certain things, like how certain characters could never look like that in real life, those sort of things, that doesn't fly with me either. But Warawana says, who the F cares about paper? Man, I do. Don't you care about the trees? Come on, man. Come on.
Cut them down.
Of course we care about paper. We don't want to cut all these trees down, right? Let's go green, guys. Go paperless. No.
Definitely go green. Xbox,
why are we talking about paper? Why are you bringing up the paper? Because I said on paper, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Yeah, Nate Dogg. I agree with you. Mark Cerny, you know, he's a bit of a weirdo, but he's a genius. Dude is a genius. he's weird, but he's a genius. But aren't all weirdos or all geniuses a little bit weird? I think they are. I think they are. And that's not a bad thing. We're all weird in our own right. So I just thought it was pretty interesting watching that Sea of Thieves thing, because the thing that kept coming in my head as I'm watching this show, Digital Foundry, is I'm just hearing these dumb, you know, freaking PlayStation guys. I told you it's better, you know, and just the screaming and stuff. PlayStation's better. It's just like, oh, here it is, another embarrassing moment for Xbox. They just keep doing it to themselves, bro.
Yep.
That's what they did here. They did it to themselves. Rare did it to themselves.
Xbox. And then do we have another one? They're all out now, right? No, Sea of Thieves. No, this is the last one, right? Grounded already came out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. Speaking about PlayStation, though, they keep hitting PC aggressively, Hargeet. Yes, Hiroki Totoki. PlayStation seems to be seamlessly starting to merge with PC, coinciding with the release of Ghost of Tsushima on PC. Sony will now be bringing a special overlay with all their trophies and all your friends list and all that good stuff, Hargeet. It's all going to be there day one with Ghost of Tsushima. Is this the start of Day and Date soon?
Well, look, I think that Venom will be a good test candidate for them, and they should just do it, right? So, like, Spider-Man 2 was the main thing that they had to create. They spent the $300 million, and Venom is stuff that they held back, and that's going to come out next year. And, you know, up to then, all their games that are coming out, they're all multi-plat anyways, right? You got Fair Games, and you got Concord, and You've got Marathon. Those are all multi-plats. MLB's multi-plats. So the next game I think that's going to be coming out, unless Astro comes out with the PS5 Pro, is probably going to be Venom. And if that game comes out, it's just an offshoot. How does it hurt to try? Just go ahead and do a day and date and see what happens, right? Like, you've already made your money from Spider-Man 2, hopefully by then, right? So this is just extra gravy. See what you get, right? It's still a massive property, right? So,
or even with Death Stranding 2, that could be another one.
They could, yeah. But I mean, like, at least with this, it's not a whole AAA game that you're doing. This is literally the side piece that they were going to try to make the extra money off of, right? And it's like, okay, fine, you have that. You can take the hit and say, we'll see if it decreases our targets on PS5 for sales. If it does, yeah. Okay, we understand that. Does it increase our target on PC when we do it day and date, right? And see what you get, right? That's a good test case. It doesn't hurt the bank as much, right? It would hurt more if Death Stranding 2 didn't sell, right? So, because you've already, like, theoretically, you should have already made your money for Venom from Spider-Man 2, right? So, like, I think that's the better test to use it with and say, find out, let's see what it does, right? And then if it makes sense, go on from there, right? And say, okay, the next thing we'll do is this one, the next will whatever, right? They may still say the next God of War will be staggered. Okay, fine. But I can see a world where they start saying, like, you know, half our games, three quarters of our games, we're just going to go day and date and let it go on both, right? Depending on how that test works out, right? So, but we'll see. We'll see what they do. I think that's the path. It seems like Hiroki Totoki is kind of more in that mindset, yeah. Right? So if that's the case, that's the case. I guess the fun rumor is the one that I assume was Nick who said this, but was that they're apparently Hiroki is interested in bringing Helldivers to Xbox.
You know now, what?
And that would be crazy.
That's one I kind of don't believe. I'll be honest. Yeah,
maybe not
that I don't believe that it couldn't happen, but I don't believe his story or how he presented it, or what I read in how he presented it. I don't know if it's factual the way it was written up in the article, but it just sounded kind of weird and disjointed to me. Like, if he did indeed say, I overheard early conversations about this going to Xbox. But then in the next breath saying, and I believe Hiroki may do this because yada, yada, yada. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you heard early conversations of Sony saying this stuff, then it wouldn't matter for you to speculate on what Hiroki might do because you heard early conversations on this. Like, I don't know. It just sounded kind of weird the way it was written up. I didn't listen to the show, so I don't know. So no hate towards Nick, but I just don't believe this.
It's Sony news, and generally Nick is usually spot on with Sony news.
No, he gets some of it right for sure, more than Xbox. That's for damn sure. But I don't know. I don't know. Not only that, not only because of the way it was written or whatever, but also the fact that this Hellblade is such a massive game for PlayStation, and it's their first
Helldivers.
Yeah, Helldivers. It's their first big game that is multiplayer,
and
they haven't had it in so long. A multiplayer game like this, like, why would they let this go?
Money,
you know, unless it's just about the money. But again, this is a huge one for them.
Why is CFDs after 40 million players going to PlayStation?
Will they do it? That's where I do. You know, that's where I would agree with Nick on his speculation that maybe Hiroki might do that because Hiroki has been targeting PC more aggressively, and wanting more money. It seems like that's what he's going for. So why not the Xbox with something like this? I don't know. It's because this game, everybody said it. Yeah, I've heard even some PlayStation guys say that this game is more suited for the Xbox player. This type of game, honestly, Xbox guys would eat it up. This is a shooter. This is their bread and butter. This is what a lot of the Xbox gamers, you know, bought Xboxes for back last generation and the generation before that. So I could see that. I could see that happening in that regard. But it's such a big game. It's such a big game for them. I don't know, man.
But what do you think about the overlay? Like, I think that's kind of it's an indicator of it, right? But
the overlay is pretty interesting because, again, this is something that fanboys would say for so long about how you'll never get trophies on PC. You'll never get this and that. And look, it's happening. Now you even get your friends list there. That's crazy.
Yep.
Septic Sauce says Sekiro was murky near the end now. Were you playing right now? I bet he was streaming. He always, you know, this guy loves to stream during my show to take away from me. What a complete a-hole that guy. What an ass, as he would say. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Gaz. Love you. But yeah, I do see this more of going towards day and date on PC. I'm not saying it's happening right now, but within the next year or so, I don't know. You may start to see these games drop day and date, some of them anyway. And I really do think, and it wasn't me who said it first. I believe it was Red Wolf who said it first, that Death Stranding 2 might be that first game that comes day and date. And that's not only because of Hiroki Totoki wanting to push games, be more aggressive on PC and make more money, but it's also looking at Hideo Kojima and how he loves money as well. and he doesn't mind putting the game out. You know, it was in PC Game Pass. The first one was in PC Game Pass.
Yeah. So Death Stranding is now on Mac as well, right?
And it's on Mac. So I can see him doing that. Spartan661, thank you for the membership for 2 months. He says, the media is ridiculous. Being able to recognize an attractive character in games are make-believe, fictional characters. It's why we play these games. Well, it's nice to have, you know, a good-looking character on the screen. There's nothing wrong with that. Because honestly, like when I'm able to create a character in a game, I don't make an ugly character. Why would I? That's not what I want. I want a good looking character in the game as I play. Septic Sauce. Gaz says, laugh out loud, the 12 viewers I get. Hey, don't sell yourself so short. Maybe, you know, in the future you'll get, you know, 20.
14.
14. No, you'll definitely grow. Keep at it, man. Capono 5150 says PC always wins. Pretty much. Not always. I won't say always because sometimes they do drop games that, you know, day and date, unoptimized on PC. We'll say that. It happens. It happens. And sometimes, the only problems I've ever had on PC is with older titles. Sometimes an older title, like say a game that's 13 years old, it might need some kind of fiddling with to get it to work. I've ran into that.
Yeah.
So that's where console wins. If you have that old game and you just boot it up and it just works, that's nice. New games I haven't had much of a problem with. I just boot up right away. Over 100%, 100 FPS as well. By the way, speaking of that, Ghost of Tsushima, it dropping next month. I cannot wait to play that. Along with playing with my friends list on there, you know? I get to play with that too, apparently, on PC. But no, I can't wait to play that in over 100 frames, ultra settings. The game is going to look unbelievably good, run good, and it's going to be awesome. Because this is a Nixus port, by the way, which is a big win. Because Nixus, honestly, Nixus has been PlayStation's best acquisition in years, in my opinion. Amazing team.
Yeah.
Because everything they ported over has been awesome. It's been the other teams that they've tried to go to and port stuff over that's sucked. Like, The Last of Us, they used, can't even remember their name.
It's themselves. Horrible. It was themselves. It was they just tried to blame the other team. No, the other team did asset work. It was themselves. Naughty Dog screwed it up.
Yeah, because I loved the first Last of Us, so I would definitely buy that game if it was a port by Nixus. I don't know. Maybe it's fixed now. I have no idea. I haven't
looked at it. I think they fixed it. It was a while ago. And to be fair, it was issues with the Steam Deck, which is a very low power device.
But there was issues also on the PC itself, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect port at all. Nixus knows how to do ports. It's awesome. Captain Chats agrees. He said, absolutely, Fonz. Iron Galaxy, that's what it was, Capone. Thank you. That's who made that bastardization of a port for The Last of Us.
They didn't make the port, though. It wasn't them.
It really was. It was not them.
It was Naughty Dog. It was Naughty Dog who made the port. They just helped them do the work. They did some asset work. It wasn't Iron Galaxy who made the port.
So they contracted Iron Galaxy to help. It was just extra help. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Just like Ben Studio was helping them.
Gotcha. And Ben Studio should be, you know, showing their next game, I think, soon. I'm hoping we get to see it on their next show in May. I hope we get to see that because I want to know.
Well, supposedly next month, right?
I'm hoping it's them with something new because, well, it will be something new. But I hope it's them because I really did like Days Gone. I was one of the few that thought that game was really good. Honestly, guys, it was one of my favorite PlayStation games last year. I mean, last gen. I don't know, like, why so many people hate on it. Like, there are certain aspects of it that wasn't perfect. But, again, it was a great game. Solid. I love the gameplay loop. Killing all the zombies. Getting all the nests and all that stuff. It was a ton of fun to me. And I was waiting for that sophomore outing, that part two from Ben Studio, so I could just say, there it is. They nailed it this time. And we didn't get that. And we'll never get that. And that sucks. Because
yeah, I mean, we also are due for Bluepoint. I think they should have something out, you know, hopefully in a year or so. Yeah. So they're due. There was a second studio at Santa Monica. That was, or a second team, sorry, at Santa Monica that was working on something that could be due, like that could be coming out. So there's stuff going on. I don't know if Naughty Dog had another thing going on. I think their game, they had something new, I think, going on. So we'll see if that's something that comes out soon or if that's still way out there. But yeah, there's some studios that should be having something available shortly. I don't know if Housemarque needs a lot of time to make a new game.
Yeah.
But.
I think they'll surprise us with something, you know, another quote unquote Sony banger, because they've been quiet for quite some time. And all we've heard about really is remasters and remakes. And it's really what they've been about this generation so far. And of course, it's money, you know, it's easy money for them. And it's
so,
go ahead.
Do you think that this was a big, like, F you to the players who bought a PS5? Because they're going to release a PS5 Pro, right? How many games did they really get on the PS5? It's like four?
Yeah. But PS5 Pro, you'll get games at higher fidelity. Their own first-party games will still have a 60 frames mode and yet get a much higher fidelity than they had previously. But I don't think it's really a nothing burger to me. I think the PS5 Pro isn't worth the money because I know it's going to be like $600.
I get that, but if you bought a PS5 thinking, hey, I'm going to get all these games that are going to be PS5, you know, awesome games, and it turns out, hey, there's a PS5 Pro.
Yeah,
that's what really is going to play the game at the highest fidelity.
It'll piss people off that just now bought it, because in reality, most PS5 owners just became PS5 owners early last year.
Yeah, a lot of it was last year.
A lot of it was last year. And so they're pretty new to the PS5. And even for myself, having these consoles at the beginning of the generation, I still feel like they haven't given us anything. Like in terms of next gen, like I feel shorted. This is the first time in console history, going back all the way to the Atari for me, I felt cheated. Like, I feel kind of cheated out of the generation. Like, I'm not seeing that from these consoles. Like, I'm not seeing anything that I'm like, wow, this is it. And I've gotten that from every generation within the first 3 years. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, that hasn't happened at all yet. I don't know, chat. Am I the only one? I feel like this generation kind of sucks.
Trying to think of what game has been kind of next gen, like, besides Flight Sim, I don't know. I mean, if you're just talking about graphics,
there's been some pretty graphically, you know, impressive games. Nothing that I would scream next gen, but really good looking games. But mechanically, I mean, there's nothing they're doing that's really different. This is the first generation where I've been like, eh. And that's one of the reasons I was talking about going PC early last year. And then you, of course, came along and got me a PC. So I've transitioned to PC because I feel like almost like I'm jumping a generation graphically and stuff. But the mechanics and stuff, there's nothing really new going on with any of these games.
Yeah, I think the mid-gen killed it last year. Yeah, you know, last gen. Because we were at 1080 and suddenly we got the 4K. We got the 4K 60. We got the 1080 60s. And you're like, okay, so cool. We have that now. That's a baseline. And then we come to the new gen and like, wait, you haven't even done what the last gen's doing. Why is the 1X look better than this thing? Like, what are you doing?
I remember booting up Red Dead Redemption 2 on the 1X.
Right,
that mid-gen console, and being blown away by the fidelity and the world,
and
it was 30 frames, but everything was last gen. But the fidelity, I mean, it rivals that of today's freaking console games. The 1X still gets that to that fidelity, still looks that good. Freaking Metro Exodus was face meltingly good on the 1X, and then I seen it on the Series X, looks kind of the same. It's just a tiny bit better.
Because from like 4K to 4K, like what do you do, right?
Yeah, what can you do?
And that's the thing. So if we didn't have that, you know, then it would be a huge deal.
Mid-gen ruins new generations.
Yeah.
It kind of does. So
it did.
So forget new generations. Just come out with a console every 3 years and call it.
Right.
Call it done. Just call it quits. Like every 3 years. No, let's not say 3 years. 3 years is kind of a lot.
So what Xbox is planning is this 2026, right? So 6 years. That's not bad, I guess. I don't know.
But tech moves so fast nowadays. And within that 4 years, you're already like way behind.
Yeah. Unless there's like, and hopefully like Xbox gets there where there's like this constant churn of you just get like 4 or 5 games every year. It kind of kills it if you say, I only have this for a few years. How many games did I get, right? So how many games have come out on the series console so far that are, you know, first party exclusives? It's not a lot.
Just think the millions that just got their console this year. Right.
So you can't really do that. So like, I think 6 years isn't bad. It's okay. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But tech, you see what happens though. Tech moves so much that you get new features and stuff like ray tracing and stuff, path ray tracing now, that really taxes any of these consoles. And I don't know. Then you're left with like developers deciding, hey, we're going to push this fidelity so hard that you guys are going to be stuck at 30 frames again for the rest of the generation. Sony guys are out there yelling right now, but look at our games. We've got 60 frames modes in all our games. But your games are still running on these same engines that you were running with on the PS4. You're not really pushing that fidelity in a way that some of these other engines like Unreal Engine 5 are doing. Or I shouldn't say, because they've got different features. There's different feature sets that some of those, Naughty Dog engine doesn't have.
I think the new feature, the new thing that's going to be next gen, not this gen, but next gen, is going to be if they use AI in the game and if it's embedded in the actual console, that it can handle all that within console. That will be the thing that'll showcase a new thing, right? But I don't know that, like, what else could they do that would make it next gen? And that's kind of the problem. Maybe you say Hellblade is next gen. Okay, maybe it is.
Yeah. Visually, you can say, it looks really impressive, but what is the game actually doing to really catapult it into that? Because I look at a game and I go, all right, this could be a really pretty game, but it could also be really dull, like mechanically.
Boring, right? Yeah, exactly.
So
is it fun?
you got to have the fun factor, but you also have, like, I don't, and I'm not a developer, so I don't know really what to do, but I would like to see new stuff involved in these games. I would definitely like to see more physics being used. Like, some of these companies do really push physics, Bethesda being one of those. I would like to see other developers do more with physics as well. Mm-hmm. Like more interactivity with the world around them. I want more of that. Because a lot of times, especially with some of these new games coming out right now, I mean, I'm looking at you, Final Fantasy VII Remake, you walk through the foliage and it doesn't even move.
Like, yeah.
That's two gens ago. What are we doing?
Yeah. But that's the way it goes,
right? Something new, like, or at least more of something that we've been getting. I can't nail it down specifically, but there's so much I would like to see done. And I'm hoping that through the help of AI, we get to that point. And I know a lot of people kind of poo-poo AI, but I think it's a great thing for gaming. I think AI is impressive. I mean, so far for what we're using now, I mean, like DLSS and all that, frame generation is really cool. But I'm talking just like adding more into the game. Even more AI voices and stuff, like cool stuff that like you can implement more into the worlds that maybe you couldn't do it due to like budget restraints, you know, constraints.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to hire a bunch of actors and actresses for NPCs and stuff. Maybe just for the main characters, the main NPCs, but then the rest of the people around you, the world around you, you can have using AI. And they could be really interactive to the point where it's almost or even better than ChatGPT. You know what I'm saying? Like ask them questions within the game and they actually answer in real time. And I would love that sort of thing. That to me is the stuff might be the I next dream
big
about
leap,
next
right? Go so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they do that. It's complicated. It's also expensive. So we'll have to see how that all works out.
It's expensive. But eventually I think it'll be the cheaper alternative for sure. And I think it'll streamline the process to creating these games. And that's the one good thing. And I think that's what a lot of these feature sets that unfortunately are really taxing on these consoles and on the PC, they're still more streamlined. They're still able to finish games faster using these features. So that is like, it's kind of a double-edged sword, so to speak.
I mean, would you be willing to pay like, you know, say $30 a month to have access to AI enablement to all your games?
No, absolutely not. $30 a month is kind of expensive for me. Oh man, that's a lot.
I'm just saying, right? Because you have to pay for the cloud somehow.
Yeah.
So
I hear you. I hear you. But can they implement that into Game Pass for me? Can they do that for me, Hargy?
And make it $35 a month?
Make it less. Let's go 25. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's going to be kind of expensive.
I don't know what the economics of it are going to be, but I'm just saying, like,
Lotus you know, is free. Thank you for the 10 gifted memberships.
Ooh,
amazing. They are on fire. 10 gifted memberships. Seriously. Nice. Freaking thank you. Do I have anything to play for that? I mean, I
know we should probably do that,
alerts
right?
And stuff, but... Man, I need something better. I need to,
celebratory thingies. Man, that's there, so like celebratory
old,
thingies.
Let's go old school DJ. Yeah! 10 gifted memberships. God, that was nice. So cringe. Yeah. 10 gifted. Lotus is the best. Dante, I see you.
I don't know if these things actually like work, right? There's these little things in here. Is that what you used?
No. I'm using the stuff on my Rodecaster.
Yeah, I don't know if that actually goes through or not, but it does.
Yeah, it went through. I heard it.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, but anyways, Lotus, you're awesome. You're awesome. But yeah, what were we talking about? It got me all freaking just thinking about other
AI costs.
Yeah, AI and stuff. Yeah. At the end of the day, I just want to see more from these games, man. And right now it's just like, I play these games and I'm like, I wish they could have done this better or that better. And I know I'm not the developer and these people work hard. I know all that. I'm just, as a gamer, I'm just spitballing stuff that I wish they could do more of. Septic sauce. I didn't get one. Lotus, donate 10 more. Shut up. It's freaking. I'm not. I'm not begging for people to do anything around here. I appreciate what people do for me. I really do. I don't sit there and beg for stuff. I can't do that. I can't force myself to. I hardly ever ask for a like around here. But if you do like the show, please hit that like button. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, try it out.
Try it out, man.
Try it out. Anyways, Hargi, anything that you can think about when it comes to these games, what would you like to see the future bring to gaming? Besides your book turning into a game.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm looking at more like ecosystem cohesion, right? So like playing my game on a portable device, playing my game on PC, playing my game on a console, it just seamlessly flows and I don't have to worry about it. That would be very cool.
That would be
so that's really what
quality
I'm looking
of
for
life, really.
Yeah, it's really quality of life. The one thing I hate is it takes too long to make games. I don't want to wait forever. Like, when are we going to get Fallout 5? Is Todd even going to make it? I have no idea, because he still has Elder Scrolls to make, which hopefully comes out in a few years. And maybe he starts Fallout 5. Maybe he retires. I have no idea. Is there going to be a Starfield 2? I mean, like, it just takes forever for these games. And I just want it, like, to not be that way. How long is it going to be between GTAs? 10 years? Something?
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Any Rockstar game.
15 years.
In between each one, it's like 10, 12 years. It's like...
It's crazy. It's, and it wasn't like that, because if you go back to like 360, it started with GTA 4 and you got RDR and then you got GTA 5 all in that same freaking generation.
Look at the massive leaps in quality. And they did grow exponentially too during that time. They're developing.
Crazy.
Yeah. Now they're over. They got thousands.
It's too long. When am I going to get the next Halo? When am I like this stuff is just too crazy. Like I want more like game releases that like just come out instead of just waiting and waiting.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much for the 1999 Spriggan 113. Dante, thank you very much. He says, this is my like button for the homies. Love it.
Thanks, Spriggan. Jeez.
Man, that's really nice of you. Thank you. But yeah, I can definitely see that being great. You got a lot of quality of life features you'd like implemented, and just these games getting out faster as well. That's a cool thing too. And again, I do think that AI is going to streamline that process. But to your point on these games taking so long to make, I watched there's several YouTubers out there. You can find it just by putting in like I made a game on an Unreal Engine 5 or whatever. There's a lot of amateurs out there trying to get into the world of development and know nothing.
Yeah.
But Unreal Engine 5 allows them to create games in
that are stunning
a fairly short amount of time, considering they have no background in development or anything. And yeah, it's tedious. It takes a long time for them to do just certain little simple mechanics that we would think, you know, maybe a developer can do it a lot faster, but it still blows my mind that within 2 weeks' time, somebody can have this little rinky dink game they made through Unreal Engine 5 and it looks pretty good. And they know nothing. They knew nothing before they started the project. That is pretty cool that they have those tools out there. The tools, there goes again, that word. Somebody said it earlier. Will they ever use the tools? The tools are being used in the consoles, by the way. They are. That's what I was told by Jason.
Like I've said before. Yeah. Like I've said before, though, is when you see the indie do that, that just means the AAA developer will sit there and spend even more time and make everything even more like complicated so that they justify why they need 400 people to do the same thing. And it's just the way it is. And like, so it's going to take like 18 years to get a game. And it'll take that many more developers.
No.
And it's just, it's like, I'm sick of that. Like, I prefer the one developer that says, I'll spend 2 years and just give you the game and do it myself. Oh. Right. Cause like, it'll look good enough. It'll play good enough. It'll be a weird concept. That's much more fun, you know, versus the like overblown everything, ridiculous expenses that they do. Like Spider-Man 2, how many people like that game? It was good, but it didn't push the envelope. You know why? Because they don't want to, because it's $300 million.
Yeah,
that's the problem you get with that. Right. And if you just had 20 people working on it, you could get a Grounded. You could get a Pentiment. Like, and who cares? How much money does it need to make? It doesn't need to, because it's a small team making the game. and they get it out there, and you could get like Grounded has what 20, 25 million players or something ridiculous. So like, again, it just depends on what you want. Ninja Theory punches way over their weight, right? So like, do they need to have that many developers? No, right? You just like, I'm just so tired of that like AAA mentality crap.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, we're seeing more, and this has happened for many years now, more innovation coming from AA space. And, you know, I think that'll continue because, again, I think that a lot of these games, they try to fit a mold to, you know, certain, like they're always trying to chase the next big game within the genre they're creating or whatever, right? It never seems like, in the AAA space, it never seems like they're out to create a very unique game. It's always like look at Ubisoft, for instance. Most of their games are kind of the same. They're a big open world, you know, where you freaking unlock the map by doing certain things. It's all the same kind of stuff. And I think a lot of companies are doing this because it's safe. It's safe for them. By the way, BT Maverick 707, thank you for the gifted membership. I appreciate that. I didn't see that earlier. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. When they veer away from that with something like Prince of Persia, they don't get rewarded.
Yep.
So, you know, unfortunately, see, that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, they try something different. And, oh, they try, weren't they the same ones that did the Zelda-esque game too? What was it? The
Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Immortals
Fenyx Rising. Which was fantastic. Rising. I liked it. I finished it.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't play it. I tried it. I didn't care for it, but that's just me. Phase There's 23, BKNY, with a big $49.99. Where
Holy
is it?
Holy hell, dude.
Look at that. I got it. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. He says, the future of Xbox is on PlayStation. Xbox fans for the last 5 years. Been saying day and date for all PlayStation games.
Well, now PC. He's right because PlayStation's on PC.
So,
and the future of everything's on PC.
So he says, so which single-player game from Sony will be first day and date on PC? And why are Xbox games running better on PS5? We talked about that a little bit earlier, but we'll oblige because that's such a big dono from you. But let's say this. Okay, so... We've already stated earlier that we think the first games will probably be either, like you said, Venom, I think. I say Death Stranding 2, possibly, being the first day and date on PC. We'll see. I don't know. But why are the games running better on the PS5? I don't know.
Because Xbox is stupid and doesn't go fix the engine and dev kit issue.
Somebody said it earlier. It's the whole stepping on the rake thing with Xbox. They keep shooting themselves in the foot, and they take 2 steps forward and 12 steps back all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand it. Okay, blame the devs in this situation. Rare, I don't know what you're doing, but you put a better product out on your competition, and it's weird. I don't get it. I don't know. Septic Sauce says PCMR. Well, I still am not a person to, I can't say that. Like, I love the PC, and that's where I'm playing most of my games, if not all of them. I did play Fallout 76 on the series console, by the way. But I'm playing mostly on the PC and stuff, but I don't say PCMR because that's, like, such a dick move. It's such, like, an uppity thing to say, like... You feel like you're just like talking down to like console players when you say that. And I refuse to do that because I understand why consoles have their place. And these consoles are not bad for their price. The price point to what you get is so amazing for the console. It really is. I don't shit on it in that regard. Now, do I wish that they had 60 more 60 frames games? Yeah. Of course, that's why I'm playing on PC. But it is what it is when it comes to that. I don't know. You have anything to say to Phase 23 on that?
No, I mean, it's just like what I said about that, the Shadows thing, right? Was like, it's a UE5, I think. Yeah, sorry, a UE4 game, I think.
Yeah.
So it's just the way they implemented the dev kit to the Unreal Engine. And that's just terrible stupidity on Xbox to not go fix that. So like, it's a different process to do development on PlayStation, right? Because it doesn't use the Windows dev kit. So, because apparently it's bad on Windows as well, right? So it's like, well, certainly not a hardware glitch there. It's got to be something to do with software.
Yeah.
So go fix it.
But again, stupid, it goes back to Rare. It definitely goes back to Xbox and Rare in this situation. Yeah,
it goes back to Xbox. It goes back to, why is the dev kit not doing the right things?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody, Dorian Gray said DirectX is trash. No, I don't think it's
trash. It is Windows, by the way. DirectX is Windows. So if it's trash, it's trash, I guess. But.
Yeah. Yep. Septic Sauce sold to PCMR. It's Phil's fault. Well, he's not on PC. He's got like a freaking 1050. Like, he's not on PC right now. He's waiting to get a PC, sure. But right now, he just said it. He's on the sex box. I mean, Xbox.
On the sex.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Man. All right. Well, that's all I've had to talk about today. I don't know about you. If you got anything else, if you don't, we'll wrap this up and we could just get out of here.
Sis, let's go.
Yeah. All right. So let everybody know where they can find you next, Hargeet. All that good stuff.
Next, it'll probably be Booms. I think it's Booms Podcast on Wednesday, 7 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time. Double Barrel Gaming, Primetime Gaming Podcast. And then I'll be on C-Money's. Actually, wait a minute. I think it's this week is the double header. So I'll actually be on C-Money's end of month at 4 o'clock. So 4 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time and then 7 p.m. So double header on Wednesday. So on point for gamers. And then
be there for 12 hours.
It will be. It'll basically be the whole day. I hope to have this bloody book done, so I will publish it sometime in the next, hopefully, day. But I have to figure out what the heck that even means. So I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get that out there. So
and I'll definitely help push that as well, brother. I'll help
out. Yep. So, so once I get that going, I'll let everybody know how to get the book. And
awesome.
And then we'll be back here next Sunday.
For sure. And before
maybe at some point...
Yeah,
dealer will come back.
Hopefully,
that'll
hopefully
be awesome.
We can get RDX again. I don't know though. Yeah. Not holding my breath just yet. I don't know. But thank you for another show, Hargeet. Before I go, I want to let everybody know this week is the week, Wednesday, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The debut of my new podcast, This Mysterious World. If you are into the unexplained and strange and paranormal, cryptids, UFOs, aliens, conspiracy theory, this is going to be a show for you. Stop by, listen to some stories. I had somebody send in, I had one person send in a story and I'm just starting out. I'm hoping it gets much more than that, but if you've got a story, definitely send it to my email, that's in the description of the channel for that trailer on that This Mysterious World podcast channel here on YouTube. And definitely leave it there for me because I definitely want to hear from you guys. I want to read these stories live and maybe you'll think a little bit. Maybe you'll be like, that's horse crap. And look, you don't have to believe in everything. I don't believe in everything I'm going to be talking about. However, I'm always entertained by this stuff. That's 100% sure. I love this kind of stuff. I have a passion for this kind of stuff. I listen to this stuff all the time. So anyways, join me there this Wednesday, the 24th, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the This Mysterious World podcast channel. It's linked in this video down below. Phase 23, like always, before we're about to leave, drops $1.99. He says, Fonz, what's the convo you had on Xbox with D and Colt? On X with D and Colt. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. What's the combo? Can anybody help me with that? Face, please elaborate. Fonz, what's the convo you had on X with D and cold.
Was this like a Twitter Spaces thingy?
I wasn't on Twitter Space, so I don't know. I don't know. What's the D? I had a conversation with D recent. Oh, on X. Okay, it was on Twitter. It was about the 30 frames, the PlayStation 5 Pro, and how there's articles being put out there that it's not really going to help the games that are 30 frames now become 60 frames. And I agree with that. D, however, doesn't. D thinks that the PSSR is going to be a magical thing and they're going to have their own frame generation that's going to create these magical frames out of nowhere between 30 and 60. And you can't really do that. You have to have it around 40 frames before you can do that. And I don't know. I still say I don't think that's going to happen. That marginal upgraded CPU is not going to push these games that are 30 now to 40 frames, you know, all the time. Like there's a reason why these games don't have 40 frames modes that are stuck at 30, because they can't even handle 40. They can't even handle 30, for crying out loud. Some of these games like Dragon's Dogma 2 on console are down into the teens. They can't handle 30. So that is what the conversation was about. That's where I'm at. And D is opposite. He thinks that PSSR and frame generation. I wouldn't be
shocked if they did something that allows it to do that. But
yeah, if they did, great.
Again,
it's not going to hurt
right?
me.
Wait and see.
And yeah, honestly, I think that's a great thing if they're able to get these games that are now 30, like Dragon's Dogma 2, and push them up to 60. That would be amazing. I have nothing against that. But we'll see. We'll see. Mark Cerny is a genius. If anybody can do it, I would say he's one of those guys that can. But with that said, I want to thank everybody for showing up and listening to us two old guys talk about games. And until Wednesday in this mysterious world, what should I say? Game on.